Well, that took a minute longer than I thought it would. It being after 4:30, the Board of Public Works meeting is now called to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Joe Clausius? I don't see him. Harold Cleams? Okay. Tim Meisenheimer?
Present.
Alder Uguer?
Present. My camera
Alder
is
Link.
not working.
Okay. Alder Lankella?
Here.
And Lisa Stern and Aaron Williams are excused tonight. And Michael Cullen.
I'm here. Do any board members wish to make any disclosures or recusals regarding items on the agenda? Hearing or seeing none. Do we have anybody registered to make public comments for items not on the agenda?
We do not.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting from May 21st?
Motion
Motion
to
to
approve. Second.
got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. The consent agenda this evening will include items 6, 7, and 10 through 13. Do any board members wish to break any of those items out for further discussion? If not, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Item number, oh, I forgot. We don't have anybody, we don't have any public hearings scheduled for this evening. Item number 5, we got Mark Motor to talk about the compliance maintenance annual report.
Let's see, share screen. All right, I'm Mark Motor from Engineering. Going to go through our annual report for CMAR, which is our, it's just part of CMOB. CMAR is our compliance maintenance annual report. This is something that we have to provide to the DNR annually, part of CMOB, which is another more or less a requirement of all the utilities in the state. CMOB stands for Capacity Management, Operation, and Maintenance. More or less, what it is it's a report card of how the sewer utility is operating. In terms of financial and operations, how are we fiscally responsible, and how is the utility operating in terms of how is it performing overall. So this is part of our discharge report. And so how did we do? We did very well. We've done very well for since we've been doing these. It is a self-reporting, but overall, just in general, the utility's been fiscally responsible, and we've also been doing very well as far as the performance, which I'll get into shortly. More or less, just kind of what I mentioned before, we're fiscally responsible. We plan replacements and rehab when we have aging infrastructure. And we also plan for future growth. That's kind of the trick. As the city is expanding, we also want to, be aggressive replacing our problem areas so that we continue to have, good, we continue to have favorable statistics in terms of, not having problems with the system as we grow. We minimize the sanitary sewer backups. That's really our number one way that we can, determine how we're doing in terms of an operation, in terms of how the sewer utility is operating. Maybe in our 9 miles of sewer mains within the city of Madison, over 20,000, manholes, 33 lift stations, and we convey 25.12 million gallons per day of wastewater. So it's a lot of wastewater in the city. Generally, this kind of goes. This chart goes through the more or less the materials that we have in this, in terms of this the sewers. We have four. We're up to 47% is plastic and HDPE, which is Probably a good reason why we don't have as many problems. And generally that reflects the newer systems, and we generally don't have as many problems when you end up with the plastic mains. Where we end up having the more problems are with the clays and the concretes and the cast and ductile iron. So you can see on this chart, we have 37% of our collection system is still clay, and just 2% is cast iron or ductile iron. Ductile iron is fine. It's the cast iron that we end up having the rust and deterioration over time. And then this graph over here kind of talks about the age. Generally, sewers last 100 years. So when you start getting into the higher numbers, the 75 to 100 years, then we want to be aggressive in replacing those sewer mains in order to make sure that we continue to do well as a utility. Preventative sewer maintenance, our operations crews do a remarkable job keeping up with maintenance. We generally all the sewer mains are cleaned once every 3 years. And then we've got the some of our problem sewers where we end up cleaning them more often. Sometimes we do 2 times a month, and sometimes we have to do it annually. Right now it looks like right now we're about 4 times a year is kind of our max in terms of how often we end up cleaning some of our mains. So anytime we run into sewers that are in terraces or have a lot of restaurants on it where you have a lot of grease, we end up having to do more cleaning. So the terrace mains, you end up with root obstructions, and that ends up being a problem over time. In terms of maintenance and rehab, this graph more or less just kind of goes through what we've done for rehab versus our target. Our target's 1% of our overall. And as you can see from the blue, we're trying to stay above 1% of the entire. So we always want to be above 8 miles, because if we have 800 miles of sewer mains in the system, we want to replace 8. And we do quite a bit. Usually we do about 7 to 9 of maintenance, just replacements, or not replacements, but lining. We'll install liners inside of existing sewer mains, and usually about we budget for 7 to 9. Sometimes we don't get as many, but generally we're above our benchmark as far as 1% target. How have we done of a system? As you can see from this graph, we didn't do so well when we were in the early 90s. We were up to 385 backups per year. Right now we've been below 25 for a long time, but generally we're about, I think in 2024 we had 9 backups, which is very remarkable in comparison to our benchmarks. Benchmarks say that we should be at 65 or 235, depending on the benchmarks that you have for a municipality, the size of Madison, including the number of, it's not necessarily the population, but in terms of the overall length of sewer mains within the sewer system of the city. In terms of post backup and sanitary sewer over sanitary sewer overflows. Overflows are another way we measure how we're performing. We had 2 sanitary sewer overflows in 2024, which is not great. It's not terrible, but it's more or less we have we had a sanitary sewer overflow in the Mendota Mental Institute, where we had a force main that ended up breaking. And we also, which more or less the that was a break last summer, right around this time. And then we had one in the winter. We had a grease buildup in a manhole on the east side on Milwaukee Street. So generally both of these were what we've done in terms of the force main is we become more aggressive. With force mains, we don't clean the force mains. So if a typical sanitary sewer flow, if it's gravity system, it's okay. Well, we know we've televised it, we know where the problem is. With a force main, the problem that we had on this one was a cast iron pipe that just it failed. And what we're doing is, like this year, we're doing an aggressive replacement. We're replacing like a mile of force main of this particular force main. It goes down to Vieth Avenue and through the Mendota Mental Institute. We're not going to get the entire force main replaced, but in general, when we have a sanitary sewer overflow, we want to target the problem areas, and so that we can minimize them going forward. That actually is our last slide. Does anyone have any questions about the reports? The other attachment that kind of goes through and talks about the fiscal numbers, and then also the performance problem in what we've actually done as a utility over the last year.
All righty. Any questions for Mark? Hey, Mark, that one slide you had regarding pipe material versus age, where Where does the, I assume the clay pipe generally fits into that 75 to 100 or 50 to
Lisa,
75?
PVC came out in the 70s. So probably 30 years or older, you would be looking at potentially having clay tile. So, we're kind of, we're up to, probably like 45, getting to the 50 years. 50 years is kind of, 1980, we were predominantly PVC at that point, but PVC was a new material like in the mid to late 70s.
Right, and the majority of the pipe that you are replacing or lining, is that most of that clay at this point?
Clay, asbestos cement, concrete, also cast iron.
Right. And then part of this report, I assume, gets into infiltration and inflow.
Correct, it does. There is a portion of that includes studies
Now,
of the how we're doing it as far as INI.
And how does that look for the past year? I know it was going down over the last 10 years or so, but is that
Generally,
still?
the study areas, we've been studying three areas, and the peak levels did go down last year. We've been working on one over on the John Street, which is over by Obrick Gardens. There we have a lift station over there, and we also have a study up by the airport. The Truax is our lift station up by the airport. It's on Anderson Avenue, Anderson Street. And then we also have one that's on Midtown, which is a new area, but we've still been monitoring all three locations. And generally, the peaks have gone down. Last year was more favorable in terms of that is concerned. We just didn't have the and the impacts of what we've seen is in these studies as we do infrastructure improvement projects in each one of those areas. We are seeing the INI decrease over time.
And when you say the peak goes down as opposed to the average, I assume.
Yeah, so in other words, when we started studying the John Street, I think we had like an 11 times peak as far as what it was in the during a rain event versus what we have now, which is more or less we're starting to the overall system. I think we were like four or five, so it's starting to get more into the we've reduced it significantly where we're not necessarily seeing the impacts that we had where it was a direct correlation immediately as soon as it rained, we ended up having, we were overrun with water at a lift station. And when that happens, you end up, overusing your pumps. And sometimes you have to use two pumps at the same time. And then you can end up having a, if it can't keep up with the amount of water that gets into the system, we end up, potentially having a sanitary sewer overflow.
And that peak, I would imagine, is correlated to some kind of direct connection, whether that be through a manhole or a pipe break or something, or a.
It can be any number. It can be, it's called inflow infiltration. So you can have, infiltration that comes through the pipes itself and offset joints in
Well,
high ground
that would be
water
more the
areas.
average, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then we end up seeing, then you also have the people connecting their sump pumps and you have
Oh.
roof drains and that. Then you end up with surface water and inlet that's knocked off. We had one problem area with one of the farmers actually in the Midtown lift station where the farmer knocked a casting off and we didn't know about it. It rained and flooded the manhole and we ended up having a big problem at the lift station. We found a bunch of rocks and stuff like that. The lift station that here happened maybe 10 years ago. So, but generally what we've been doing in that particular basin is we've been with the water projects that we've been doing out there, stormwater projects we've been wrapping. We excavated all these manholes and been wrapping each one of them because we're just like, oh, we really want to figure out what's going on in this basin.
Right. So with those manholes, do you line those manholes then if you have a problem or
You can do it each. We do both. If we're replacing, if we want to, it's best to prevent the water from coming from the outside before it gets in. But lining is another option if you've got an existing manholes where we will, basically spray a liner. It isn't as effective long term as if you were able to wrap the outside because what they do is they'll put like a rubber Mac wrap band around each one of the joints and then put in clamps or basically bands that go around it to hold those in place. And that if you can do an external, that's the way to go in terms of preventing and groundwater infiltration. But we also do the internal chimney seals whenever we're at low points near inlets and stuff like that. That's another method that provides the water that's in the road base from getting in below the casting.
Right. Okay. All righty. Any other questions for Mark? If not, do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
Thank
it.
you.
Alrighty, item number eight. We got Sarah Lerner to talk about the Northeast Regional Pond Repair.
All right. Let me share my screen. Okay, so this project, here's a good overview, is located actually within the municipal limits of the city of Sun Prairie. This is right on the border between the city of Madison and the city of Sun Prairie. This actually existed before, this property was owned by the city of Madison before the municipal limits were developed. And what this is an emergency repair project located along this regional pond here. Here you have City of Sun Prairie, City of Madison. Essentially, the pond edge here is eroding into the DOT right of way. And so this project is going to be to repair this shoreline along this edge and to lower the water elevation to the design elevation, which is about 1 foot lower than what it actually sits at, which will greatly reduce the erosion that we're seeing on this side of the pond, and then create an access drive along here. So this is a full kind of area. You can see this is the location of the overflow weir, and this is kind of the area that we're dealing with. You can see we are dealing with pretty close proximity to the DOT right of way. So this is why we're treating this as an emergency project where we want to get in there this fall as soon as possible and stabilize the shoreline. That's pretty much the crux of this project. Feel free to ask a lot of questions because I know it's kind of out of the ordinary, being that this is a combination of Sun Prairie, City of Madison, and DOT property.
You said this fall was the schedule for doing the construction, and then you've got an estimated cost, Sarah.
380,000. Yep. We are actually going to. So, you guys previously approved the Tancho Bike Path construction project, and we had previously tried to work out an access from USH 151 to get on this, and that is next to nearly impossible with the rules and restrictions for closing lanes and timing. So, we're going to bid this project with a Tancho Bike Path construction project, and what we're going to use, since their bike path pretty much goes almost exactly to the site. We're going to bid these two projects together. And so this fall, they're going to build probably the base for the bike path, and we will use that for the construction access to the pond. As part of this project, we're going to build little maintenance access that's going to take us to the side of the shoreline, which will help long term because this site is very steep since it's right adjacent to a highway. So we're going to bid these two projects together and start this fall by building that Tancho bike path base, which will give us construction access to the pond, and then start doing the grading and the pond work so that hopefully we can be out of there by the time that they start. In theory, if we get snow this year, we have snow operations because a lot of that snow, if there is snow, would be brushed against that really narrow band between the highway and the pond, and then probably come back up in spring and finish up any remaining work. And then they would likely pave that section of the Tancho bike path and clean that up as part of kind of working ourselves out of this whole construction site.
All righty, any questions for Sarah? Harold, you've joined us.
Yes.
Apologies, I was a few minutes late.
Welcome.
Thanks, Sarah. So you said that pond has been around a long time. Was that built with the highway?
It was built before this ramp, actually. So we were here first. And then through a variety of different resolutions, there's an agreement for the two landowners to coexist within this area. So there's an agreement with the City of Sun Prairie, City of Madison, and the DOT to have all of us operating in the same space.
Okay. And we are sharing the cost for this as well, or is that?
We're not sharing the cost of this. This pond treats and was built primarily for the City of Madison. This was primarily built before all of Sun Prairie development, so this was a City of Madison construction project.
Okay. Because I mean that's mostly farmland around, like I guess where's the water? What purpose does it serve for the city of Madison out there?
The regional pond for the City of Madison. I mean, the fact that how it is not working right now is completely related to our management of it. We manage and
Okay.
maintain the stormwater pond. It's
Okay.
within a City of Madison park, Northeast Park. We maintain the operations and maintenance of that park as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Where does the majority of the water come from, Sarah?
Well, I'm not the stormwater engineer who designed the original pond on this, but I think it's kind of split between City of Madison and Sun Prairie, so. I mean, if we were to look at where the majority of the water comes from now within the municipal limits, I think probably we would say it's a mix.
Doesn't it make sense that the two cities should share the cost?
Well, I think there's a decades-long history of agreements within this area for the construction and the maintenance that have long been since established. So, well, that probably is a good long-term plan to look at. In this situation, we kind of have an emergency repair situation that the DOT has requested. And since we own and operate this pond and have the funding for it, I think we are in the position and likely the responsible agency, since we're in charge of maintaining it, to make this immediate repair.
Tim, you've got a question or comment?
Is the hope to have both projects to have the RFP won by the same contractor and the bike path work and the pond work done by the same person?
Yeah, it's largely grading and excavation work. They'll hire subs for smaller portions like the paving portion. But that is correct. Yep.
All righty, any other questions for Sarah? Alder Lankala.
Is the pond has anything? Where is the MMSD is involved in any of this for the pond or?
The school or the sewer utility?
Just sewage.
It's not related.
Okay, because sewage district has all, including Sun Prairie and City of Madison together there, right? So I was just wondering if there is involved anything there.
Nope, not really. And Michael, to your point about, and Harold, to your point about cost sharing, I think that if we were to look at dredging this pond, we're talking about stormwater maintenance and conforming to our regional TMDL and MS4 requirements, like regional pond maintenance, not just a one-time repair for something we maintain. I think you make valid points about cost sharing, and that is something we'd look forward and look into an agreement with.
All righty. Any other questions for Sarah? If not, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Sarah. Have a good evening.
Yep, you too.
All righty, item number 9. Do we have any appeals regarding pre-qualifications of contractors other than the ones that are on the consent agenda?
We do not. I don't know if Chris is going to hop in here.
Yeah.
Did you mention the water resource report, Michael?
Oh, I did not. Yes, thank
Okay.
you. Item number eight, which Sarah just talked about, will require city and state permits for potential water resources impacts. Just for everybody's knowledge on that one. Chris, you got something to say? No, he has nothing. Heidi, you led me down a dead end there.
Oh, I thought maybe he was going to hop
Yeah,
in
I
and
was just
I'd beat
gonna
him
bring
to
up
it.
the water resource report, but
Oh,
sorry.
Heidi, you beat me to it.
Good for Heidi. Right on top of the situation. I think that's it then, right? And if that's
Yes.
the case, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move adjournment.
Second.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.